Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Over the last few days, there's been a huge response to six simple words from one man. Who am I to judge? The significance of those words was determined by who said them. It was the Pope and the people he was talking about, gay people. On a flight back to Rome from World Youth Day in Brazil, he told reporters, "If they accept the Lord and have goodwill, who am I to judge them? They shouldn't be marginalised." He hasn't changed church teaching on homosexuality, but there's been much comment on how he spoke, a shift in tone that focused on God's mercy for sinners rather than the sin. The prominent Catholic commentator, the Reverend James Martin, said, "That mercy, of course, comes from Jesus Christ, and we can never have enough of it." Another account of his comments put it like this: "It wasn't that he said something different, but he said it differently." Very different to, first, Pope John Paul II, who suggested that same-sex marriage was part of an ideology of evil and drew an analogy between abortion and the Holocaust. Second, Pope Benedict XVI said in 2008 that homosexuality was as much of a threat to the survival of the human race as climate change. We've been wondering here on Open House what our Open House community thinks of all this. We'd love to hear from you tonight on 1300 40 2020. Do you welcome the change of tone, the clear shift of approach? Does it open the door to the Catholic Church softening its line on homosexuality? Should that happen? How should that line be determined? By the church? By a church leader? By the media? By the Bible? Opens up lots of questions, lots of heat. Let's shed a bit of light on this vexed question as well. Give us a call on 1300 40 2020. To kick off our Open House conversation, Carl Faze from Olive Tree Media has been thinking through all this, and he joins us now on Open House. Carl, welcome back.
Thank you, Lee. It's good to chat to you again.
Always great to talk. Carl, have you been struck by the way those six little words set off such a response?
Yeah, in some ways it's surprising, but it's a nice surprise. It's nice that it's clear, because what the Pope is basically saying is, I think what a lot of church leaders have been saying for a long time. I think certainly the quotes that you used from some past popes would leave church leaders looking like we are a bit homophobic and totally negative. But the church's response to those with homosexual tendencies is not to say that you're evil. It's just to say that if you follow those tendencies, you would be living a life outside of God's best for you. But that's not to say that we think they're evil and terrible.
There have been some in the Christian community who've certainly left that impression.
Yes, but I'd have to say, Lee, one of the things I feel is that I don't know that some is a majority. I mix with church leaders all the time. I don't hear them saying that. I hear in the conversations I have tones of grace and care, tones where they want to help and be involved, but also tones that say, you know, this is not a lifestyle that we think the Bible sees as something that honors God in the way you behave sexually with a person of the same sex. But that doesn't mean that there's a sense of, you know, that we want to see the worst in it, or that we think they're evil or they're worse than anybody else with an orientation, a lifestyle or a desire that they follow, which is outside God's best for us.
If there's such a minority position like this in the church, why does it often seem so dominant in the way the church is reported?
Well, I don't want to kind of give the press a hard time, because I think we in the church tend to do that fairly regularly. But the press do look for the kind of outlier position, the extreme position. You know, there's one small church in the United States that I think gets 90% of the press, and the church is tarred by the brush of their opinions. And they put up dreadful signs and say horrible things. Well, I don't think the church stands for that. That's a sensationalist, so the press like to see it. The quiet, balanced view is not necessarily one that makes the evening news.
No. Why do you think there's been such a response to those six words this week?
Well, I mean, A, who the Pope is. I mean, he's a remarkable world leader. Whether you like him or dislike him, either he or the Catholic Church, he leads potentially, I think, the biggest gathering of Christians across the globe. And so for him to have a tone where it's not judgmental, but is one that is seeking to act seemingly with grace, that seems like an amazing change. of focus and direction.
Does it underline the need to look at not just what we say generally, but especially about questions of faith, but how we say it?
I actually think in this discussion, the how is way more important than the what. Lee, I've been doing seminars recently around the new series Towards Belief that we've just released, and one of the points I make in the seminar, without making this too long, but just let me make this very quick, the question is, why do doctors get sued? And people often think, well, doctors get sued because they make mistakes, but it's not actually. I mean, a vast majority of doctors make the same number of mistakes. The people who get sued, as Malcolm Gladwell demonstrates in his book Blink, those who come to their patients with a tone that seems like it's uncaring and aloof, and you know, they make the same number of mistakes as nice doctors, if I can use that term, but you don't sue people you like. So in other words, the reason doctors get sued is not because they make mistakes, but it's the tone of the way they behave with their patients.
You mentioned Towards Belief, the series that we explored on Open House a few months ago. You tackle the top 10 blockers to Christian faith in Australia, and the gay issue is one of those top 10. How did you tackle it there? What were some of the conclusions you came up with about how the Christian community could deal better with this issue?
I mean, what we try and do in that particular episode is to demonstrate that lifestyle is outside of what God would want as the best for us. But we try and do it that says it doesn't mean that these people are worse than anybody else. If you or I, married guys, Lee, are attracted to another woman who is not our wives, and we feel like that we want to have a sexual relationship with them, the Bible has something to say about that.
Yes.
It says that don't do it. Mm. Just because I feel that attraction doesn't mean I should pursue it, or that if I do, that it's right. Essentially what we're saying is, If you're same-sex attracted, that's not the best for you that God has for you. And as difficult as it may seem, there's times that we have to go, well, that's not a desire or a lifestyle I should pursue.
Leading on from that, and this question has also arisen in the debates this past week, what about a celibate gay person? Is the issue homosexuality, or is it the practice of homosexuality, I suppose, in the same way that you've just mentioned, because you're heterosexual doesn't mean it's open slather?
Yeah, and that's essentially, I think, what the Pope was saying. The Pope was saying that just because you have a same-sex attraction doesn't mean that you automatically can't be a priest. What it's saying is that you shouldn't be pursuing that lifestyle. I saw an article in Christianity Day just recently of three guys who are all evangelical pastors out of England, all of whom, all three of them are same-sex attracted, and yet they've got a commitment to remain celibate. Now, one was able to change his direction in life, and he has married with kids, but he meets with these two other guys because they meet regularly. They meet in a basement. I think that's the only place to meet, not because they want to hide.
No.
But when they meet, they're basically saying, look, this is sort of our orientation. We don't believe this is something we should pursue. A couple of them have actually been open with their church, saying this is a struggle we have. The church hasn't got rid of them. The church doesn't say, oh, well, if you have that struggle, you can't be a minister or a church leader. But they're supporting them to say, well, that's not a lifestyle you can pursue. And that's true of a whole bunch of desires that we have in our lives.
Carl, some of the commentary about the Pope's comments is portraying Francis as an agent of renewal, that after all the scandals in which the Catholic Church has been embroiled, there's a bit of a kickback to open up a new conversation. Is that a fair point to make?
I think very much so, and I think that's an outstanding thing. There's a bunch of things that he's done that I found more moving and significant in this statement. For instance, you know, I've always thought it was odd that the popes, well, they wash people's feet like Jesus did, but they all choose to wash the very clean and finely honed feet of other church leaders in St. Peter's Basilica. But this pope this year actually went to a prison, washed the feet of 14 prison inmates, one of which was a girl, one of which was a Muslim. Now, that to me is a change of attitude and a change of approach. And I think that flows onto his attitude here, which is, I'm not judging you, but that doesn't mean I think that you can behave however you like. And that is a really positive, warm, gracious approach, which I don't think is out of step with where the rest of the church is at, even though we've been labelled as something different.
I'll save my toughest question to last. Carl, if you look at the way the tone of the popes have changed over the past 20 years with the comments of Pope John Paul II and Benedict, where do you imagine we might be on this issue of homosexuality in another 20 years' time?
Well, I just hope whatever I say they don't replay it to demonstrate how wrong I've been. Look, I would hope, my heart in this and my hope in this is that people would see that our position on same-sex attraction and active homosexual relationships is the same as any other behaviour that's outside what we believe the Bible teaches. Lee, if I can just say, you know, my life, your life, any Christian leader's life would be easy if we could just expunge that bits from the Bible and pretend it wasn't there so everybody would like us.
Yeah.
But we don't have that option. And there's a whole bunch of things that we stand against, which is in Scripture. And it seems to me what we have to do is go, well, this is what we believe God's speaking to us here. So with grace and dignity, but with kind of quiet strength, we want to say, look, I know you don't like it, but this is what we believe the Bible is saying. Unfortunately, that's been judged as saying we don't like you because you have that attraction or you have that orientation in life. And if in 20 years' time the church can be seen as a loving, gracious place that doesn't single people out because of their sexual orientation, but nor does it step away from what we believe God is saying clearly to us.
Carl Faes, always great to talk. Thank you so much indeed for joining us on such a challenging issue tonight on Open House. Let's hope it's kicked off a good conversation.
Thanks, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.